Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, with Snap Reactions quarterback position here. I just want to take a look at some of the overall metrics at the position. So just get an idea kind of how guys are playing, right? We kind of think of it in a dynasty perspective, which we should, but I would also like to think about it in like an overall NFL perspective, just so we're sort of thinking progress wise and sort of where we are overall, right? Those things matter as well. Maybe even more towards longevity than even fantasy points do. So we will look here in terms of some of the success rate stuff, as well as your EPA per play and some of the CPOE stuff. So I'll walk you through all of that, and then we'll look at some of the expected points and the like there as well. So just as a background, sort of expected points added, right? All these are sort of the NFL metrics, these are all towards the NFL instead of fantasy purposes. So when we look at, you know, we're thinking about success rate, we're talking about NFL success rate, right? When we're talking about EPA per play, we're talking about, expected points added actually on the field as opposed to in fantasy. So just for that purpose. All right, so here we go. So success rate here overall at the position, no surprise, it's Josh Allen at the top. Patrick Mahomes, tier break. Those two guys right next to each other. It shouldn't be a huge surprise that we're going to see these guys probably deep into January, right? That's sort of the assumption there. You look past that, which is interesting. Again, here's where some of the stuff I think is a little eye-opening, if we're being totally honest. Number three is Geno Smith. Number four is Andy Dalton. Number five, Trevor Lawrence. Number six, Tua Tagovailoa. Number seven, Kirk Cousins. Number eight, Joe Burrow. Number nine, Lamar Jackson. Number 10, Jimmy Garoppolo. Names not on that list include Tom Brady. They include Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. Right, lots of other guys. So, I think this is a couple of things. I am sort of a little bit interested, I guess, a little bit optimistic about the potential of Dalton in this offense. I do think that they don't throw it a ton with him in the offense, but he's certainly better in some of the metrics than Jameis is. For example, his success rate is 52.1% on plays, and that is typically success rate is derived from, you know, basically situational down and distance stuff, right? Sort of, do you make your odds of converting higher, basically, with the result of your pass play is essentially it, right? That's kind of the thought, right? So if you complete a pass for 6 yards on first down, that's a success. If you complete that pass for 6 yards on third and 18, that is not deemed a success, right? So you're sort of looking at it that way. And so Dalton, you know, substantially higher than Jameis Winston, who's at 46.3%. So I do think that's, and he's more middle of the pack there. I guess really lower half of the position as you're looking at it. He actually comes in ranked amongst qualifiers. Winston comes in at a 22nd, whereas Dalton is at four. So I think that one's one that could head towards Dalton. And honestly, like that's a little bit better. EPA per play, on the other hand, also sort of favors him, right? It's, if you're sort of looking at a more of a boom bust type of guy, Jameis Winston was sort of grade a little bit higher than that. Still negative EPA per play. It's kind of tough to do for a passer. So we'll get to that in a second. But between the two of them, it is pretty clear that Andy Dalton has performed better. The expected completion percentage between them, it's actually Jameis Winston slightly better in terms of versus expectation. But if you actually look at it, the offense has performed vastly different. 8.5 air yards per attempt for Dalton. It's 11.7 for Jameis Winston. So they are different offenses, and they're very different quarterbacks. But I think this offense is more successful at moving the football. From a fantasy perspective, I think we want it more than we do than we want Jameis Winston, right? We want Dalton over Jameis Winston is sort of the thought as of right now. So I do think Lawrence at five is interesting. And when you look at him, like he's one that's more successful, but sort of the big plays haven't necessarily come to the same level. And as a result, he's like 10th in EPA, but he is he's top. He's fifth in terms of success rate, right? So what does that indicate? He's more successful, but not sort of generating the bigger plays as a result of that. So that's encouraging for him as an overall quarterback. We'll get to some of the other metrics as we go along, but sort of this is, I think, a positive for him. Tua as well, sixth and success rate at 51.2%. He's right up there at the near the top of the position. He's third in EPA per play. So again, he's more outperforming sort of bigger plays. That's a little bit higher variance, right? If you sort of just look at EPA per play, that can, you know, a fumble six, for example, is a huge difference, right? Whereas that's really, you know, if you grade it out over the course of all of your plays, right, it's one failure. But if you sort of grade just the overall, you know, impact of it, it's it makes a big difference points wise, right? So it's kind of the way that those things are graded a little bit differently. I think if memory serves, I'm pretty sure Dalton threw two pick sixes like recently. That's probably why his EPA per play is way down, right? You sort of look at those, like that's where that can generally come from. So some other ones here, you know, down at the bottom, no surprise here, Baker Mayfield, 33%, Zach Wilson, 38%, Russell Wilson, 39%. He's the one that's always lagged. Success rate has always been behind his EPA per play, so that's for what that's worth. Davis Mills is ranks 33rd out of 36 qualifiers. Wentz is 32nd. Trubisky, 31st. Flacco is at 30. Cooper Rush, everyone's MVP nominee for a couple of weeks there with the idea that he started over Dak Prescott, 29th out of 36 qualifiers. Goff, 28th. 27th is Justin Fields, who had a good game the other night. 26th is Murray. 25 is Herbert. So that's basically like your bottom third there of the position. Early sort of results on Kenny Pickett, not terrible, sort of right in the middle of the position. So that's good, right? That's not terrible. He's right around there with Bailey Zappi. So those are some encouraging signs. Another encouraging sign is Daniel Jones. I think a lot of that's probably some scripted up stuff, right? When you actually look at it, he's only averaging 6.2 air yards per attempt, which is third lowest. Matt Ryan, the lowest. Kirk Cousins, the second lowest. Daniel Jones is the third lowest. Curiously, Herbert and Matthew Stafford both tied right with right there, actually, next to Herbert's tied with Daniel Jones. Matthew Stafford just a step better. And then there's actually almost a half a yard tier break after those guys. So that's a pretty low number there. So, again, I think that's very you know, very sort of low expectation of him in the offense, right? That's telling too, right? When you're just saying, hey, like, here's some real easy stuff and you're sort of, you know, you're succeeding at it, but there's a very, it's their run centricness also sort of signals that they don't really believe in Daniel Jones, right? I think that's the overall takeaway. They probably like him as a player. I was actually listening to something. Peter Schrager was talking about it, and after Joe Judge was fired from the Giants, you know, he called him and was like, hey, you know, hang in there, you know, whatever. And he's like, you know, did you learn anything from this? And he's like, yeah, that Daniel Jones is a hell of a tough guy. So for what that's worth, I thought that was an interesting story that was the takeaway that he had from it. So we'll see what the maybe the NFL sort of inside game there with the Giants thinks more highly of Daniel Jones than maybe the outside stuff does. Maybe that's a potential disconnect that we'll watch for. Again, they might not pick early in this draft either. So for what that's worth, it's worth noting there as well. All right, so let's look at some other stuff here in terms of like our design pass rate, for example. You know, up there at the top of the position really is Buffalo, right? It's the Chargers is after that. Yep, throwing the ball a ton. Indy, which is interesting considering that they're going to make a change of quarterback, so I'll watch for that one. Kansas City, Tampa, Cincinnati's actually up there as well. Top seven at the position in design pass rate at 67%. That's one that I think is a big, big change. They rank fifth in terms of dropbacks per game. That has major consequences, right? One of the things that we came into this season talking about was we have to be a little skeptical on Joe Burrow because Joe Burrow really overproduced his expectation last year. Joe Burrow was basically, you know, just performing touchdowns like at an unsustainably high level. Wasn't going to be something that he could really keep up with, and it was going to be, you couldn't really bank on that, and you would have to expect because of where he was at that there would be some regression in his in just his luck, right? He was just going to have less luck at scoring touchdowns, right? You don't consistently break, you know, 50-yard plus touchdowns like he did last year. Just not happening. And that's one of like the bigger things that we sort of took away from the offseason. And if you're not going to do that, right, how do you sort of live up to your billing as an elite quarterback? Well, you need to take a massive step forward in passing attempts. And we have seen that, right, in passing dropbacks, really. We've seen that. We've seen Burrow go way, way up in terms of his in terms of his usage, which I think is really important. It has a major consequence. And honestly, like, I would rather – and we might end up putting him – we'll have to see. We might end up putting him up in a Supermax category. I generally think, and this is probably maybe a learning lesson, maybe we have to add an additional caveat in here. Maybe it's proof of concept with a new team. Right, maybe that guards against some of the Russell Wilson stuff. You know, maybe that's something we think about going forward as we sort of look and look more and more at these. But he's going to fit a little bit into that almost the like that Justin Herbert type of year. That into that sort of range of that early career entering a Supermax range is very, very possible for him. So. That's a very positive step forward for him and an exciting development for fantasy. It has major implications for really all of these guys. Has major implications for Chase, right? It has major implications for everyone really in terms of Higgins, right? And to Hayden Hurst, right? You know, like we don't go around touting a ton of Hayden Hurst, but this is a big deal. Like dropping back to throw it a ton, like, has made him fantasy viable in a way that if they were going to be this run centric team was not really going to do. So I think it's super interesting there. And honestly, good news for us as fantasy GMs, as dynasty players, that this offense has decided to really take kind of a step forward, going to throw the ball more. And gives us more opportunity to invest in guys like Higgins, right? More ceiling out of guys like Chase, right? More interest in a guy like Tyler Boyd, right? All those things are cool for us. And I think, you know, we have to maybe rethink this offense, which honestly is exciting because I was dubious of the idea that you were just going to see this massive jump in volume from him because, frankly, I don't think a lot of Tigers change their stripes or a lot of Bengals change their stripes, to just sort of use the metaphor. And you know, once you've seen success, do you really change? Well, they've shown that they are going to change a bit. So that's actually encouraging. And I know people get on Zach Taylor, but it's the same reason why I don't feel particularly great about Christian McCaffrey, right? Because I think that we can say, oh, they're going to optimize his usage, but like we've seen questionable usage out of guys that should be highly optimized for Kyle Shanahan for years, including George Kittle. So color me skeptical on making that bet. Now we see the bet. Now I think we do have to rethink it, right? Joe Burrow should be higher up at the position, and we'll sort of see how he goes. But yeah, so that's exciting there, where he is at in terms of his passing volume. If you want to look down at the lower parts of the position, it's Atlanta, San Francisco, Tennessee, Chicago, Dallas being really at the bottom of the position in terms of design pass rate there. So, interesting, I would say, is maybe the big takeaway there. They're running it a ton in Philly, but some of that said, the RPO action, they're putting the ball in Jalen Hurts' hands a ton. I would like to have more than 36.8 dropbacks per game and rank 21st. Right, that probably takes Dallas Goedert a little bit out of sort of that higher ceiling stuff. However, you sort of have to keep in mind, you have to keep adjusted towards the fact that, frankly, this is still early, right? And I think that that's the thing we have to sort of keep mindful of, right? Sort of keep, keep ourselves sort of not too much overreacting to some of these stats, because one of the things that we'll see, for example, is like this team's undefeated, right? So they're going to run the ball more because they are up, right? They're ahead on teams. And so, right, that's kind of your thought there with a team like Philly. Early on in the season, they were actually throwing the ball more. They have not thrown the ball as much because I think they're undefeated, right? They're running the ball a little bit more. When you look at that early down pass rate, for example, which would be kind of like the neutral sort of game script stuff that we like to look at, their pass rate on early downs is actually sixth. All right, so that's pretty high. Up at the top of the position, of course, it's no surprise. It's Kansas City. It's Buffalo. Curiously, it's actually Cincinnati, which wasn't true last year. It's very different than what it was last year. The Chargers are four. Seattle's fifth, which is interesting. And then it's the Eagles sixth, Indianapolis seventh, and the Dolphins eighth. So even though the pass rate's a little bit lower overall for Philly, I think that's more of a signal of game script that they're a good team than it is necessarily, hey, they're just trying to, you know, that they're trying to hide Hurts. I don't think that's what's happening at all. On the flip side, right, you see the teams that are trying to hide their quarterback. What are the teams that in the neutral game script decide to run it a ton? The Saints, Atlanta, Chicago, Detroit, Tennessee, and San Francisco, and then Dallas, right? Those are the bottom, right, quarter teams or so there. Washington would also fit in that bottom quarter as well. So you kind of see some teams trying to hide their quarterbacks, right? Very much so in terms of that. In terms of that metric, I think is very, very illuminating. So when you actually go back and look at some of the stuff from 2021 as well, they give you an idea like kind of who stays consistent and who's changed. And I think when you sort of look at that, it gives you a better understanding as well. And you can see some of the effect on guys like Hurts, for example, right? So you see last year that they were, you kind of break it up into different parts of the season too, about where they sort of were, at different parts of the season, but overall, they were 23rd in early down pass rate, right? Now they've jumped up all the way up to sixth, right? That's a clear indication that they want to change who they are. But I think the AJ Brown stuff was a signal towards that, right? For sure. And honestly, one of the big things I thought coming into this year was like, hey, if you looked at last year, they were really a bimodal team. Either they were going to drop back and throw the ball a ton at the beginning of the season, or they were going to run the hell out of it at the end of the season, right? And sort of where would they fall? Well, you look back at that early season split. Curiously, right? You look back at that early season split, right? First half of the season, where were they last year? 58% in terms of their early down pass rate. What are they this year? 57.8%, right? They're exactly what they wanted to be. The beginning of last year's season told us what they wanted to be, what they saw themselves as. They flipped the switch mid-season towards something that they thought was better, right? This is the big reveal, I think, from this team, from this offense. Now that we're weeks in, we sort of have a little bit more data to look at. We know what this team wants to be, and that's a top quarter team in terms of early down pass rate, in terms of aggressiveness on first downs, and in terms of wanting to throw the ball, right? This is a team that wants to lean that way. Everything sort of suggested that, and I think we're cashing in. I think that does speak more towards potential for a guy like Dallas Goedert down the way, right? When maybe they play some closer games here down the stretch, right? You're going to see the opportunity for some closer games, right? Some higher pass rates sort of later in the game instead of when they're ahead, right? So that's sort of some stuff that I would, I'm pretty excited about, because I think that a guy like Goedert can, see an opportunity to break out even to a higher level when we sort of get, can we get him in some shootouts, right? Can we sort of get those things going on? I'd be pretty excited about that. When you look, for example, on all plays this year, right? So you can sort of break down the situational patterns and get an idea of who's playing sort of more aggressively or more, you know, or playing less aggressively, or, you know, who's playing more conservative offense, who's playing more, more pass heavy offense by situation, right? So I think that's one of the things is we can look for. Philly, massive step forward, right, in terms of situational stuff. Last year on all plays, they were 6% under expectation. This year, 1% under pass expectation. So almost, basically almost neutral. When you look in terms of their first down stuff, right, you can sort of chop this up and sort of exclude garbage time and all that stuff. I'm just sort of generally looking at this. And I think if you were to sort of chop it up a little bit more, it might even actually take, you know, we can actually do that. Let's sort of test our hypothesis here while we're sort of looking at this. Teams, when they have actually here's some good stuff here. So this kind of highlights it a bit. So we'll actually look at the difference between these teams, last year's Philly team versus this year's Philly team, passing frequency over expectation, and get an idea when games basically aren't shootouts. Right, or when they aren't blowouts, right? When they're sort of still being contested, anything within a 20% chance, when, you know, either team has at least a 20% chance to win, sort of what's the play frequency? Last year, on all plays sort of played when the game was close, if you will, the Philadelphia was 5% under pass expectation. This year, they're dead even. Right, so almost exactly what you would expect based on that. There's over expectation in some very key spots. First down, they're 3% over expectation. Second down and short, they're actually 46% over expectation. So they're really on second downs. Like, watch when Philadelphia gets in second and short. They're throwing the ball a ton. Right, they're throwing the ball a ton. Right, that's kind of what you look there. 75% of the time. So last year they were throwing it. It was like less than. It was very low. It was like less than 20% of the time there. So a big difference there in terms of that. They're running the ball a lot, sort of in third and on second medium, right? They're sort of throwing it a lot on second and eight, right? Sort of, those are some good stuff analytically to do there in terms of that. They're running the ball a lot on third and short. I think some of that probably has to do with the fact that they're willing to go for it on fourth down, right? And that's kind of a spot where if you sort of look for it, you could say, all right, like if we're playing with four downs, we can run on third and short, because you're not necessarily forced to get past the sticks. That's a spot where there's some potential value there as well. So you sort of see some of that stuff. Ultimately, they're even in some of the spots where you really want to see them pass more. They're passing a ton more, right? Look at last year, right? We sort of say, hey, you know, where's the, right? They were down in pass attempts last year. Again, we could break it up in sort of halves of the seasons or whatnot. We're not going to do that for all of this, but suffice it to say, 5% under expectation last year on all plays, right? They're massively under expectation on second down, for example, conservative sort of thought process, and some of that stuff being under expectation on third and shorts, also present there. So a little bit of a tendency, if you will, there. That might be a telling feature sort of their offense. When you actually look last year as well, there's a split first half, second half, right? You can sort of draw that out a little bit. I'm not going to go super, super down the rabbit hole on all of this, but first half of the season, 1% over expectation on all the plays. Second half of the season, 10% under expectation, right? This is last year's Phillies offense, really coming full back, right? We should have seen this with AJ Brown, right? This is sort of the optimized Philly offense. Pretty excited there. And I think when you get into some bigger games, when you get into some maybe closer games, it's maybe opens up a little bit more passing volume for a guy like Dallas Goedert, for a guy like Devon Smith, for a guy like AJ Brown, right? Pretty excited about all of that, as well as Jalen Hurts. So that's a deep dive really on the Philly stuff. I could talk about Philly. I think they're fascinating in terms of all of that. I think they're a really interesting team when you sort of look at them. One other team that we can look at and say, hey, how do they sort of measure out last year versus this year? Look at Seattle, for example. I think that's super, super interesting because, hey, it was always Russ wanted to sort of argue with them about are we sort of doing stuff you know, letting him cook and all this stuff. Last year, Seattle, on all plays, 1% under their pass frequency expectation. In 2022, 3% over. I just find that hilarious. That's just hilarious when you sort of look at that. And we can actually let's take a step here and we'll actually exclude the games. Yeah, so it's actually even better. It's better than that. So in games where you're sort of eliminating the blowout, this is amazing. Last year they were 4% under expectation in terms of pass frequency. This year they're 3% over it. They're letting Geno cook when they wouldn't let Russ cook. That's just an amazing stat. So, really, really interesting there when you go back and look at it. I think the Geno stuff, I think that's very real. I don't think he's not living off a myth or anything like that. Let's look here at some of the expectation stuff in terms of actual fantasy points. So I'm just going to drop the safe league scoring for this, right? We play in a lot of safe leagues, 6-point passing touchdowns, 4-point interceptions. We'll just sort of go up and down expectations a bit here. So the highest expectation in that format, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts is 2, Patrick Mahomes is 3, Trevor Lawrence is 4. Interesting. Kyler Murray, 5. Joe Burrow, 6. Justin Herbert, 7. Lamar Jackson, 8. Tyler Heinicke, I'm not eliminating for any sample size stuff here. Heinicke's 9 at 21.9, so good early showing. Flacco, 10. Again, not controlling for any sort of number, just sort of spitting out everything. Cousins, 12. Stafford, 13. So one of the things with Stafford has been like, all right, he's been underperforming. He's been getting picked off like twice the rate that he should have, and he's been throwing touchdowns at a half the rate he should have, right? That stuff sort of goes back to normal. He's fine, right? He's totally fine. And he's probably fine. Like, hey, if that stuff sort of balances out over the course of the season, he's having a hell of a second half. So optimistic about that. I don't think there's really a problem there with him sort of, right, in sort of that mid quarterback 1 points per game type of range, everything is going to be okay. What did Aaron Rodgers say? RELAX, right? Relax. I think that's the story with Stafford. Russell Wilson, a little bit further down, right? We've talked about him a little bit. Again, he's half the touchdowns with Russell Wilson. He's actually under in expected interceptions as well, and over in yards. So I do think a lot of this stuff is some touchdown stuff. He's been plagued by drops. I think like if Wilson sort of got right and was sort of interception neutral, was touchdown neutral and didn't lead the league in like drop percentage, which is like over 10%. He doesn't lead it. He's very close to the top. I don't want to mislead you. There's 2 people higher than him. Let me just check that for certain here. He is drop rate. Ryan Tannehill is at 10.4%. Wilson's at 10.1. So 10%, you know, one every 10 of his drop of his attempts is dropped. I think some of this stuff just balances out. We might look at his season and say, hey, you know, again, the touchdown stuff, right? Some of those touchdowns early, like we wouldn't be sort of thinking about the same narrative stuff. I think a lot of what's happening with him is fluky. So again, I've been in a spot where I'm like, hey, can I buy low on some of these quarterbacks? And I've got a lot of them, but I'm like, hey, can I buy low? You know, is there a chance to buy low on an even higher guy? And the problem is it's sort of tough to transition up. So if you can buy low with picks, I'm sort of interested in doing that because I think you're going to be able to sort of cash out. Again, maybe the narrative stuff on him takes some time to rebalance itself. But I think generally speaking, you look at durable profiles, sort of quarterbacks that have done it a long time. We know what they do. Russ is consistently a guy that converts passing opportunities into touchdowns. He's just not right now. And that stuff can sort of go in waves. So I'm not really super concerned about him. I think that bears mentioning again. Some other stuff here. Jacoby Brissett is at about 20. So again, you sort of take out some of the guys in front of him that really played. Like that's mid quarterback 2, almost a high quarterback 2 with his expectation there. That's a good optimism for Watson going forward. He's 4 points a game under expectation. Almost all of that is from touchdowns. So if you start looking at that, like, kind of optimistic about what Deshaun Watson could do when he comes back. So I like to look at that as well. A couple of spots I don't have a ton of optimism. Tua, 25th in terms of expected points per game. That's not great. He's overperforming it with 19.1 points per game. He's 2.1 points over expectation. That is primarily on a little bit of touchdown luck there. There's some yardage stuff in there as well. But it's generally speaking, it's not super high. And I have my guest here. Come on in, Gracie. Gracie came home to see me. She's going to introduce herself to the podcast. She just got home from school. Gracie, can you say hi? Can you say hi? You talk all the time and you're not going to say hi in this podcast. Is that what's going on right now? Say hi, everybody. Oh, we're getting shy. So we came in to let us know we were home and now we're shy. I'm almost done with my podcast, honey. I'll be up in a minute, okay? I didn't make popcorn, honey.
Why does it smell like hot sauce down outside?
It doesn't smell like hot sauce, buddy. I don't know.
I smelled hot sauce outside.
I don't know. Can we talk about it when my podcast is over? Thanks, buddy. So yes, in the popcorn report, I didn't cook it, but we can flip back to the quarterback position. And so again, I think that some of the expectation stuff is fine. There's another way you can sort of chop this up a little bit. Just look at expected, passing points, which I think is interesting. Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Flacco, Heineke, again, small sample size caveats apply there. For reasons that I don't understand, Pro Football Focus doesn't put a cutoff to this stat. They do to every other stat, but not these. Lawrence, Stafford, Brady, Cousins, Goff, Derek Carr. And then Murray and Winston sort of rounding out that late part of the top 12, if we're to sort of cut off from some sample stuff there. So when you look at some of the expected stuff, think some guys down at the worst aspect of it. Zach Wilson, Justin Fields is low in expectation. Actually, Dak Prescott's pretty low as well. So we'll see. Some of that's probably has to do with the fact that his first game was cut off a little bit. But again, hopefully he gets back better going here and they sort of optimize him, but it hasn't been great. He's actually not that different from Cooper Rush in terms of expected points per game. So he needs to get that squared away as well. In terms of actual expected passing points for Jalen Hurts, it's actually he's 27th. So the rushing stuff certainly helping him. Again, I think he's over in terms of yards by a lot. He's almost 240 yards over expectation there in terms of passing. But again, I think some of that's a little bit of game script as well. So I think these are some good things here. Again, I have optimism about Stafford. I have optimism about Russell Wilson. So that's a pretty good, I think, a pretty good indication here in terms of where everything is at. I think that'll pretty much put a bow on it here for this. I'll take that back. PFF has actually come up big here, and they have their good stats back. They had this great stats page, and now that I didn't know that it was back up, and it's back up. I've been looking for weeks. I'd given up looking. Passing, here you go. End zone touchdown rate. So guys that are really high in terms of actually throwing the ball into the end zone, Lamar Jackson, Derek Carr, actually Russell Wilson. Again, you think about that touchdown rate being bad. So just 9.1% of his targets actually thrown into the end zone. Just and two touchdowns on that. Just tough. It's just really, really tough for that to be the case. Trevor Lawrence really high in that stat as well. So again, that high expectation for him. Fields as well there. So some guys up at the top of the position, not necessarily who you would expect being guys throwing the ball into the end zone. Let's look at guys who have touchdowns more than 40 yards. It's again Joe Burrow living on good variance, which is just incredible. 40 yards or more touchdowns, he has 5 of them. Josh Allen has 4. 50 or more touchdowns, he has 4 of them. Josh Allen has 3. Jackson and Baker Mayfield each have 2. Those are the only guys with more. So Burrow living good still. So that's, I think, some of the volume stuff is helping him a bit. as he's come down a little bit from those numbers, but still elevated numbers. I don't think he can keep that up. I personally don't. So we'll see here in the long term if he proves to be that guy. He wasn't as a rookie. So we'll see here going forward sort of how that moves. Points per drop back here, no surprise. Lamar Jackson, number one. Josh Allen, number two. Jalen Hurts, number three. Mahomes, Mariota, up at the top of the position. All the rushing guys there. So a lot of that stuff there. Pickett down at the bottom. Mac Jones, Stafford amongst the lowest there. Zach Wilson kind of looking bust, very bust-like numbers so far. And then I will hit here the passing grades here for PFF to just sort of highlight this these last two draft classes just to sort of give us an idea, and we'll get a quick breakdown here. So looking at the seven guys that sort of meet the qualifications this year from the last two draft classes, sort of looking at their PFF grade this year. Bottom guy, Justin Fields. Mac Jones is second from the bottom. Zach Wilson, third from the bottom. Again, throwing a ton of interceptable balls. And not very many big-time throws, so that's not good. Trevor Lawrence is the median player. Again, has not taken the step forward that I think a lot of people had hoped he would take for. Still turning it over at a higher rate than he is actually throwing big-time throws, so that's not what you like to see. But he's performing sort of well in the what I would consider like the quarterback stats. Like he has the lowest pressure to sack rate, for example. Pickett performing slightly better. Again, it's a small sample size. It's only 142 dropbacks, but actually that's more dropbacks this year than Zach Wilson, than Mac Jones. So, and actually Bailey Zappi, who actually grades higher than him. Davis Mills, interestingly enough, Davis Mills still up there as the second best graded passer from these last two draft classes. Haven't taken a massive step forward yet. No one's really taken the big leap, but green numbers there for him. Again, still very curious about this going forward. 6.5 yards per attempt. You'd look at that and say that's not great. Some of the ADOT stuff for Davis Mills. And I think, is he going to be a big-time fantasy player? Maybe not. I think that they've reined him in a little bit, right? They chopped down his time to throw by a ton. I'm still interested in this experiment because I think this is the right way to try to hit on the position, right? You draft somebody, he sort of overperforms as a rookie. You know, you say, all right, let's give it a shot, right? Kind of like what they've done with Jalen Hurts in Philly, and you sort of see what happens. But I think the thing with maybe that we should learn from the Jalen Hurts, Davis Mills comparison is you've got to give the guy a shot. You sort of have to try it, right? And I think that that's what Philly has done with Jalen Hurts, that they've tried it. And I think it's worked. And I think that that's one of the things that I think with Davis Mills, I don't know if they fully tried it yet. They haven't really leaned into it all the way. You know, you look at his ADOTs down, for example. They haven't really invested around him. You know, design pass rate sort of middle of the pack. You know, so they haven't crushed him, but they haven't done the Justin Fields to him. But I don't think they've sort of leaned full into it, you know, as we go along here. So. So those are just some thoughts here with a special guest appearance from my oldest daughter, who shied out and never shies out, but she decided to shy out on the podcast. So that'll do it here for this edition of the quarterback rundown for week 7. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.